Hello, this is Joe Sposto of At Odds with Wrestling from the soon-to-be-named network. This is not a normal episode of At Odds. So if you're here for what you usually get, the likes, the dislikes, the this day in wrestling history, none of that is going to be here. What this is a loving tribute to Adam and our fandom of the Figure Wrestling Federation over on the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast Network. This episode does not have the blessing or is endorsed by Brian or Matt or Mark. This was just something that we wanted to do to have some fun. And it's all in good fun, comes from a place of love for the show, love for what the guys do. And we hope you enjoy listening as much as we had fun putting together these cards.
Welcome, everyone, to the Figure Wrestling Federation Wednesday Night Wars. I am your moderator, Justin Summers from Wrestling Cheers, the Phil Jackson of wrestling t-shirt collecting, and I am joined by the EVP of Thrill Zone.
Thank you very much. It's me, Joe Sposto, the head of the A Show, the number one brand in all of action figure wrestling imaginary, playing with your toys. And not doing fig photography.
And I'm also joined by the president of Turmoil.
I am the $100 Vansky, the Michael Jordan of Azrael Figure Collecting. Seldom ready, Adam Van. What's going on, guys?
I think the funny part of doing this whole thing is you got to realize, even on the Figure Wrestling Federation, Matt does take the lead a lot, so I'm going to need you, Adam, to step it up a little bit more from what you're used to. Like, okay, step it up a lot more than you're used to, because you stepped into the wrong shoes.
Well, first of all, unlike Bare Minimum Sposo over there, I have, like, a fully loaded show here. Because I know that Thrill Zone is an abandoned brand, but Turmoil is living and breathing and constantly evolving. So I think that this is going to be a huge show, and I think Broski would be honored.
Listen, as long as the check clears, those Broski bucks are going to count the same. I am a fan of what Brian has done. I feel as though my show is going to very much honor what Brian has kind of set out over the last 24 weeks of TV and pay-per-views and so forth. I might sprinkle a little bit of my own dust on there, which is very similar to Brian dust. but you'll kind of see where I'm going with that. And obviously, this is showing up in the At Odds Wrestling feed. This is a bonus episode, but if you're the person who skips the Figure Wrestling Federation stuff, this episode is only Figure Wrestling Federation stuff. I implore you to check it out, but before you do have 24 other episodes plus a giant pay-per-view episode in their back catalog that you need to listen for pretty much any of this to make sense.
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it stands on its own, but we'll see. We'll see. Maybe this is a good jumping on point for listeners. I don't know.
I think my show is going to be a good jumping on point.
All right. Mine's like a whole mess of continuity.
Didn't they also say that they're going to put all the pay-per-views up there too? Not just the big last one, which was put on the new feed, but they will
be
putting...
I think they said eventually the past pay-per-views are going to be on there, but I think they're just kind of waiting for some sort of time frame, of course. I think once they figure out what the new quote-unquote bonus show for the $5 patrons is going to be, or the new bonus show for the $10 patrons, my apologies. I think that's when they said they're going to move all those old ones, because I guess they don't want to give away that stuff that people were paying for free so quickly, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say it right here, and I'll say it for Joe and for Justin. They're more than welcome to stick this episode on their feed. You know, it's just otherwise people are going to be lost when they come back eventually for season two.
And you know what, Justin? I don't mean to interrupt you. They are actually up there as I'm looking at the feed now.
There you go. Okay. And
All the pay-per-views and the roster specials are up there on the main free feed.
So you're talking 26 weekly episodes and then 6 pay-per-views on top of it.
Plus the roster specials, so that's another 10. So, like, you're looking like 37 podcasts. for any of this to make sense of. 38 if you include the draft special that kicked everything off.
All of it at least an hour long or somewhere close to it.
Yeah, the draft specials are usually like 15, 20 minutes. So, yeah, you know, it's a lot to digest.
Yeah. I was meaning all the regular FWO. So the roster specials are a little bit bit shorter. Then obviously the thing that like got me into it was that opening actual draft, because I didn't get into the Ruthless Aggression era one. Like, I have them all downloaded. Eventually, when I get time, I want to sit down and binge them. But I jumped in with the draft, and just watching that live was so much fun. Watching Broski squirm when Scott Hall and fucking Macho Man were taken. Oh, was it so good?
The look on his face, and then like they made some short-lived memes of poor Broski freaking out over it. But yeah, that was really good. But I liked the Ruthless Aggression figure stuff. But you know, if they give Brian a hard time that he was bare minimum Brian there, he's like, Figure Wrestling Federation was like Brian turned up from what he was in Ruthless Aggression.
Well, I'm looking forward to what you got, Joe, just so I can squash it.
All right. Let me get my notes up here in front of me. All right. And I'm ready for my countdown. Oh, and if you're ready with the timer, of course. We're going to attempt to stick to the strict 30-minute time limits that they had on the shows. And since Adam Broski thinks he's going to go 95 minutes over, whatever time I have left over, I'm gifting to him.
Okay. I got the timer set. So get ready in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Thrill Zone. It's the night after Major Fest, and we're going to hear from the brand new FWF champion Scott Hall. Also tonight, Owen Hart and the Giant are going to take on Yokozuna and a mystery partner. Plus, we're going to meet the brand new commissioner of Thrill Zone. All this and more tonight in the Thrill Zone. Hang on. Technical difficulties.
Classic Brian.
Ready or not, here he comes to the ring. The man who shocked the world after being left laying just 1 week ago. The man who ended Major Fest, the FWF champion, Scott Hall, coming to the ring. And he's got a mic in his hand. He's got something to say. Hey, yo. Last week, before the pay-per-view, I was laid out, left for dead, by my supposed best friend, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. And he said to me and to all of you that this is the friend business, not friendship. Well, last week, after I shocked the world and became the new champion, everyone backstage came up to me and congratulated me. I even checked my messages. Big Kev and Shawn from that other promotion, you know the one, down where? And the crowd all yells, down there! Yeah, they even called me, and they were proud of what I did. So Shawn Michaels, it ain't about this being a business and there being no friends. It's about you being a piece of crap and not realizing who your friends... Wait a second! Interrupting the new champion, here comes Shawn Michaels. He's got a microphone in his hand. He's doing that little embarrassing shuffle that he does that a 38-year-old man really shouldn't be doing, especially with that hairline, but that's neither here nor there. Whoa, there, HBK. You better slow your roll before you get one step closer to this ring. You want this belt? I'll make it a piece of you. I got news for you, Jack. And that's normal Shawn Michaels line in all of his promos. The only reason I didn't call you after you won was because I think I lost your number. You changed your number. I don't know. You're a tough guy to get a hold of. But I figure, you know, maybe we could let bygones be bygones. And you can maybe let me be the first person to get a crack at that new title of yours. Wait a second. We know that music. That's Raven's music. And he's come out through the entranceway. And it looks like Raven, but he's wearing a suit for some reason. All right, you two. I'm not going to do the Scotty impersonation. Last week, before I got a chance to embarrass him at the pay-per-view, like the coward that he is, Roddy Piper quit as the commissioner of Thrill Zone. And, you know, I beat him at the pay-per-view. Maybe I pulled a few strings. Maybe I called in a few favors. And you were looking at the new commissioner of the Thrill Zone brand. So I got an idea for tonight. If anything is going to happen, Shawn Michaels, you lost at the pay-per-view. But, you know, maybe it wasn't too fair and square. So here's what I'm going to do. Tonight, in a triple threat match, it's going to be Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, and another man who came close at the pay-per-view in a big match, but didn't get the job done. The Macho Man, Randy Savage. You three are going to be in a triple threat tonight. The winner of that is the new number one contender for the FWF Championship. But Scott Hall, you don't get the night off. Tonight, you're going to be defending that belt. And you're going to be defending the belt against a man who is victorious at Major Fest. So tonight, you're going to be taking on The Rock. And we smash to commercial break.
24:40 left.
Seg 2. Owen Hart comes up. He's approaching Raven as Raven's walking from backstage to his commissioner's office, upset that he's not in the triple threat. He feels he was the previous champion. He was screwed out of things. And Raven says, you're already scheduled in a match. You and the Giant have a score to settle. Yokozuna wants to get his hands on the two of you. He came to me and he wanted to be a handicap match, but I'm a fair commissioner. I'm not going to run a madhouse like Piper did before me. Yokozuna is going to get to pick whoever he wants as his partner. And maybe if you're victorious there, we'll think about putting you into the mix for the world title. Owen says, that's perfect. That's great. Any friend that Yokozuna possibly could have here, they're already in a match. They're not going to pull out of a match for the championship or a chance at the championship to team against him. Raven, you want it not to be a handicap match? It's going to be a handicap match. Raven goes back into his office. In his office, already waiting there for him is Vampiro. Vampiro, my buddy, back from the Deadpool days. How are we doing, pal? They embrace. Vampiro says, I see you giving out title matches to winners from the pay-per-view. You know, I beat Kane at the pay-per-view in that casket match or Inferno match. It's kind of unclear of what it was. I think it was a casket match. But anyway, I was victorious. Maybe I should get a shot. Maybe put me in that match. Me, The Rock, Scott Hall, maybe something like that. And Raven's like, no. Listen, that's not how things are going to be done here on the Thrill Zone. Like I said, I'm going to be fair. I'm going to be biased. Or I'm not going to be biased like Piper was. Wins and losses are going to matter. But here's what I could do for you, Vampiro. You're a buddy of mine. I'll give you a shot. I'll put you in a number one contendership match again for the Interstate title against someone else who was victorious at the pay-per-view. How about that? Vampiro says, no problem. I've beaten everyone I've come across. If I could beat Kane, I don't care who you put me in the ring with. And Raven says, and I want you to know too, Vampiro, and kind of everyone else, things are going to run a little bit different. These hardcore matches aren't just going to have random people running out of them. People aren't going to get to call their shots whenever they want. Anything that happens here in the Thrill Zone is going to have to come through me first. Vampiro completely understands. You get ready for your match. And he goes, you know what? You better head out to the ring because I'm going to go call your opponent here in just a second. And we smashed a commercial break. That's the end of Seg 2.
22 Oops, minutes sorry. And 4 seconds left.
How much?
22 minutes even right now.
Perfect. Seg 3, Vampiro's already in the ring waiting for his opponent. And that's the music of the Bizarre One, accompanied to the ring by Luna Vachon, none other than Goldust. Goldust was victorious in the mixed tag match against the Inchworm, Dennis Rodman, and his ex-wife, Marlena. And now these two men are going to be competing to see who the new number one contender for the Interstate title is going to be. We smash to the end of the match. The two of these guys back and forth. Goldust is in control of the match. He sets Vampiro up in the corner like he's going to give him the shattered dreams. As he's about to do so, the referee gets a little bit too close, and Vampiro pulls the referee in front of him. Goldust puts on the brakes. Obviously, he doesn't want to kick the referee in the dick. Luna gets up on the apron. What the hell are you doing? She's yelling at Vampiro. She's yelling at the referee. That allows Vampiro to get himself freed. He goes and he grabs Luna and he slugs Luna. Knocks her off. She takes a big bump off the apron. Goldust is super pissed off. And now he's a house of fire. Just beating the shit out of Vampiro. Just firing off him. The referee's trying to pull him off. Goldust pushes the referee off. Keeps punching on Vampiro again. Pushes the ref off a second time. Keeps going at it. And a third time Goldust pushes him off. Referee calls for the bell. Goldust has been disqualified. Vampiro wins. He gets the number one contendership for the Interstate title, but Goldust is so infuriated that someone would put their hands on Luna. Maybe Goldust is getting feelings for his partner here. Smash to commercial break.
20 minutes, 12 seconds.
All right. Segment 4, just like the old school days in ECW, the Dudleys come out with their manager, Cyrus the Virus, Don Callis. Head stooge, number one, whatever you want to call him. No music coming through the crowd. Bubba Ray and D-Von are getting to the face of every single fan that boos or throws the finger at them. But they notice that both D-Von and Bubba Ray have tape over their mouths. Cyrus gets in the ring and he gets the mic and he says that the TV networks have said that the incendiary things that Bubba and D-Von say to the live crowds are now going to get them banned if they open their mouths under this new regime by Commissioner Raven. So from here on out, any talking is going to be done through Cyrus. But that's not going to stop the Dudleys from beating the ass of every single one of these fans. D-Von and Bubba, go get them. D-Von and Bubba are going to beat up the fans? What the hell are they thinking? Oh, wait, 1 second. Out on the ramp, alone. A young upstart, full head of hair, Tom Dreamer comes out and he says, listen, Cyrus, you know, you and I, we may have rode up and down the rings, the roads together. You know, I might have done some of those reservation shows up in the hinterlands in Canada, but I can't have you doing this to the fans. I can't have the Dudleys doing this to the fans. I'm a fan myself. You know, I still harbor resentment to Bob Backlund for that time that he didn't sign my autograph in 1983. So I get it. I do. But if you're going to touch the fans, you're going to have to get through me. And Cyrus is like, well, that's great. I like those odds because two Dudleys against one of you, that sounds like easy pickings for my tag team. Wait a second. You're talking about the fans. Tommy Dreamer's pointing to the fans and coming up from high atop the upper deck in this sold-out act building for Thrill Zone is none other than the hardcore icon himself. No, not Frankie Angelini, but the Sandman. Tom Dreamer rushes the ring. Sandman makes his way through the throngs of the crowd, and now it's just a Pier 6 brawl between these four men. Cyrus gets the hell out of the ring. He ain't taking no bumps tonight. This isn't pay-per-view, and these four men are just brawling. The entire locker room clears. Referees are out. Officials are out. Fat guys in suits are out. Everything trying to separate these four men. And now, oh my goodness, we've got a hardcore brawl, a hardcore rivalry renewed here in the Thrill Zone. Smash to commercial break.
17 minutes and 20 seconds.
back from commercial, and we're right into some action here, as that's the music of the former FWF World Champion, Owen Hart, coming to the ring with his main man, the Giant, of course, ripping heaters as only he can. Owen comes in the ring with a look of confidence on his face. He knows for sure that Yokozuna is going to come into this match alone. Going to be easy pickings for him and the Giant here tonight. The man himself, the most popular man in Thrill Zone history. We just got the word in that he sold the most amount of shirts at the merch stand. He stayed afterwards and took pictures with all the fans after everyone else had gone home, hung out at the hotel with everyone, treated everyone to a heap and helping a turkey ass. Yokozuna stops on the ramp. And before he makes his way to the ring, he just holds up three fingers. And out comes Yokozuna's tag team partner. No gimmicks needed. The man who scored his first victory last night at Major Fest, Chris Candido. The two men stop on the ramp, look at each other, and charge full steam ahead to the ring. And we have a brawl going on here as Owen and Candido pair off. The Giant and Yokozuna pair off. They're beating the hell out of each other. Yoko and the Giant tumble to the outside. They're brawling around ringside, and they actually brawl all the way up to the ramp. Cameras go back and follow them, but in the ring, there's no real rivalry here between Owen and Chris Candido, but Owen's kind of pissed that Chris Candido would even get into the ring with him, even team with Yokozuna. We're seeing a classic back-and-forth match here. Either man has a counter for the other's man, but Owen, of course, the experienced man out of the two, the more confident of the man, coming off that huge title reign that he had here in Thrill Zone. We get to the end of the match. Both men are perched up on the top rope. Candido's sitting on the inside. Owen goes up like he's going to superplex him into the ring. Surely that'll be the end of things. Candido puts on the brakes a second time. Punch to the gut. Doubles Owen over. Picks him up out of nowhere. The big blonde bombshell. The power bomb off the top rope by Candido and Owen Hart. Referee rolls over. 1, 2, 3. Boom. Chris Candido, not only winning streak, second win ever in Thrill Zone history, he just pinned the former FWF champion. The fans can't believe it. Candido can't believe it. Owen can't believe it. Candido runs the back, and we cut to commercial break.
14 minutes, 2 seconds left.
Seg 6 begins. Oh, Candido is backstage. He is overjoyed with this victory. He says that this is going to be the year of Candido. He's going straight to the top. He's got the triple threat stuff behind him. And if he could pin Owen Hart, the former champion, then he could do anything. But in the middle of his promo, he's interrupted by Bret Hart, and Candido's like, ready. He's cocked the fist, and Bret says, you know, Chris, I think I had my thoughts wrong about you. You know, if you could beat my brother Owen, you could probably beat my brother Bruce, my brother Pete, whatever the hell my other brother's names are. You're a real jam-up guy. And if you ever need someone to watch your back, just know that the Hitman's going to be here for you. And he extends his hand to Chris Candido. Candido reluctantly shakes his hand. Candido super psyched and he walks away. But as he walks away, we see the Giant and Yokozuna come brawling through the backstage. They're brawling. They're up on a ledge backstage, a scaffold almost. Giant has Yokozuna ready. He's going to chokeslam Yokozuna backstage off this scaffold, but no, Yokozuna stops it, gives him the big savate kick. The Giant does the teeter-totter, waving his arm sail. Yokozuna gives him one more thrust kick. The Giant falls, must be 20, 30 feet, boom, into a giant thing of like fencing and clangy pipes that's always backstage at wrestling TV events. And Yokozuna sees and looks down at the Giant. He's not moving. He just took that huge fall. Yokozuna looks into the camera and says, kids, don't smoke. And we cut to commercial break.
All right. Got 12 minutes and six 16 seconds left, but before we continue, let's hear some words from our sponsors. Hey, this is Justin Summers from Wrestling Cheers. If you want to check out more of the Wrestling Cheers podcast, we'd like to talk about things going on Northeast Ohio independent wrestling scene. We preview shows, we review shows, and sometimes we have interviews along the way. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and Podbean, WrestlingCheers.podbean.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Facebook.com/WrestlingCheers, Twitter.com/WrestlingCheers, and Instagram.com/WrestlingCheers. And also, if you live in the Northeast Ohio area, if you live in the Eastern Pennsylvania area, or Western Pennsylvania area, hell, even if you just live in Ohio, come out to the Toyhio Toy Show this Saturday, February 13th. Admissions only $5. Kids under 12 get in for free. It is in the Metroplex Expo Center in Girard, Ohio. The special guest of the show will be the EVP of the actual Thrill Zone, well, the former EVP of Thrill Zone, Brian Myers, the most professional wrestler. And yeah, check out Ohio, check out Wrestling Cheers. Great stuff.
Everybody!
All right, Seg 7 ready to go here. A man who had a dominant reign as the hardcore champion is getting an opportunity against the new champion as we hear that familiar song. Chris Ledoux, 8 Second Ride, for those of you who, like me, had to do a lot of digging to find this song. Bradshaw's coming out, and he's got an opportunity to regain his hardcore title, but he's going to have a tough go ahead of himself as he does so. As the new champion, Hardcore Holly, the man who defected from the Turmoil brand for greener pastures, comes out with a title in one hand and a chair in the other. He drops the title. Bradshaw rushes him. Hardcore Holly swings the chair. Ding, ding, ding. Match is on. They're starting on the ramp, just beating each other, fighting over the chair. They eventually brawl backstage. Cameras catch up to them. They're in that same hallway that we've seen a couple times here, on their way to Commissioner Raven's office. They brawl into Raven's office. And Raven's like, yeah, guys, get out of here. I'm vanity searching myself on Twitter. Get out. Get out. They don't listen to Raven. They can't hear what he's saying. So Raven takes it upon himself, picks up the chair, waffles Bradshaw, waffles Hardcore Holly with the chair, pins both men, and tells the referee to count the fall. 1, 2, 3. New hardcore champion, Raven. And Raven says, looks right into the camera, looks right down at those two men laid out from that chair shot and says, I said that I was going to be a fair and balanced commissioner for everyone else. But when it comes to me, it's always Raven's rules. And we cut to commercial break.
10 minutes, 40 seconds left.
We come back from commercial. Already in the ring is the six-man combination of Chronic and the former Interstate champion Ahmed Johnson. And they're preparing for a six-man tag match. And here he comes to the ring, the new Interstate champion, a man who's had quite the run here in Thrill Zone, Mike Awesome. Mike Awesome's walking down to the ring, and his music stops because it's interrupted by that of his partners tonight. Oh, yeah. Everyone's up on their feet. The Cinderella story here in Thrill Zone somehow made it out of Major Fest. The odds stacked against him. The team of Flash Funk and Disco Inferno, the Boogie Knights. And this six-man action is on. Ding, ding, ding. Six-man are in the ring. Starts off kind of hot. The babyfaces clear the ring. Eventually, the heels get the heat on Flash Funk. Kind of run through, doing some double teams on him. Flash Funk keeps kicking out, keeps kicking out, keeps kicking out. Eventually, Flash Funk uses his fancy footwork, makes Chronic bunk heads, gets that hot tag, does the Ricky Morton roll, slaps his hands to both Disco and Mike Awesome, both men coming to the ring, doing like the Road Dogg punches to both guys. Disco's looking at Mike Awesome, seeing he's got a little rhythm in his step, and they both do like a little shuffle. Disco's kind of stopping. They both bump both members of Chronic down. Ahmed comes in. They sidestep him. Disco kicks him in the gut, gives him his version of the stun or the chart buster. Ahmed doesn't go down. Mike Awesome gives him another kick in the gut, picks him up, gives him a huge awesome bomb in the center of the ring. One, two, three, ding, ding, ding. Your winners, the team of Mike Awesome and the Boogie Knights. Mike Awesome victorious, getting ready to leave the ring, but wait a second. The music starts back up again. No, no, things aren't done just yet. The Boogie Knights want to celebrate. They're calling Mike Awesome back into the ring. Mike Awesome a little bit reluctant. He just had a hard-fought match, and then, all of a sudden, the lights go out. And then, illuminated in the center of the ring, dropping from the middle of the arena, is a disco ball. The lights come back on, and Mike Awesome is in the ring wearing a leisure suit, the one from the John Travolta Saturday Night Migo that I got, and I customized the figure myself. And he's shuffling his hands. He's looking. He's doing the point. He points. He's moving his hips. And then all of a sudden, he lays out Disco Inferno. He lays out Too Cold Scorpio. Chronic come back into the ring. All three men lay out the Boogie Knights. Mike Awesome tears the suit off. And he's yelling to the two of them. He goes, I told you I didn't want to dance. I told you. And this is how I'm going to get you to understand I don't want to dance. And then Chronic, they have a tag team finisher, the meltdown or something, I don't know. They do it to Too Cold Scorpio, and they do it to Disco Inferno, and Mike Awesome spits on the two of them, and he said, that's what I think of you, and that's what I think of your dancing. We just have a new power trio formed here in the Thrill Zone, Chronic and Mike Awesome, as we cut to commercial break.
7 minutes left.
Okay. We're going to go quick. Seg 9. Here he comes to the ring. A man who was not involved in the deciding fall in that title match at Major Fest. The best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. Bret the Hitman Hart as he's making his way to the ring. Out of nowhere, here comes Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels attacks Bret from behind, gets a hot start on him, and throws him into the ring for this triple threat match to determine who the new number one contender for the title is going to be. And then just seconds behind him, you hear the man who had the match of his life at Major Fest, albeit in defeat to The Rock. The Macho Man Randy Savage comes out, and he is a house of fire, laying into Shawn Michaels, doing those quick rabbit punches that we've seen before. Bret is worse for wear after the beating that Shawn Michaels has given him, and Macho Man is a house of fire here on Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels bumping around like a pinball, even more ridiculously and comically in that SummerSlam match that he did for Hulk Hogan. Macho Man throws Shawn to the outside, gives him the big double sledge off the top. Shawn Michaels is out. He rolls back into the ring, and he sees Bret finally getting to his feet. They lock up. They go into the buckle. They turn. Bret in control sits Macho Man up on the top rope like he's going to go for a superplex, just like Owen did in the match before. Macho Man kicks him off, kicks him off, kicks him one more time. Bret takes a hard fall. Macho looks around, climbs the top rope, signals for it. Boom! Hits the big elbow off the top on Bret. One, two, three! Ding, ding, ding. I'm going longer than I thought I would. Your winner and the new number one contender for the Thrill Zone title, the Macho Man, Randy Savage, as we cut to commercial break.
5 minutes left.
Oh, boy. Okay. Seg 10. The Rock knows that they're running out of satellite time, and he wants that opportunity at the world title. So his music is playing. He is making a beeline to the ring here for that opportunity against the new champion himself. Nope. Scott Hall comes out without any music because I can't get his music to work. Okay, maybe there it is. Both men looking across the ring from each other as Scott Hall's music finally starts to play. Scott Hall just looking frustrated that the music man screwed up his song as we cut to commercial break.
4 minutes, 15 seconds left.
Seg 11, this match was going on through the commercial break. Of course, a hard-fought contest between these two. This is the match that The Rock has wanted an opportunity at the Thrill Zone title. So many different feuds and rivalries and tag teams have kept him apart from this. The Rock gives Scott Hall the big spine buster. He kicks the leg in. He kicks the other leg and he signals for it, tosses off the elbow pad, and hits the most electrifying move in sports entertainment. Hits the people's elbow, goes for the cover. One, Scott Hall kicks out. He must have told him backstage, "What's your finish? I can't wait to kick out of it on one." Scott Hall gets up. He turns around. He's doing those big slap punches. Big does the big spin punch to the Rock. The Rock is dazed over by the ropes. Scott Hall sets him up for the razor's edge, but of course they're too close to the ropes. The Rock back body drops Scott Hall over the top rope. Scott Hall takes a tumble. The Rock is dazed. He's beaten up a little bit, and all of a sudden, out from the back, Owen Hart comes out. Ding, ding, ding. Match is ruled a disqualification. Owen Hart has just attacked Scott Hall on the outside, still smarting, still upset that he wasn't included in this match. Now, all of a sudden, Yokozuna comes out to get his hands on Owen Hart. The Giant has been killed backstage from that big giant fall. Now Owen is out, or Brett is out, to get his hands on Owen. Now HBK is out. Macho Man is out. All the participants in the world title stuff are outside the ring brawling and fighting. The Rock, of all things in the world, looks at this pile on the outside, and The Rock does a dive over the top rope out of the pile and wipes everyone out. Picks up the title, laying on the ground, holds it up, and we fade to black. Is The Rock going to be the new FWF Thrill Zone champion?
You end it with 2 minutes and 26 seconds.
All right. Those 2 minutes and 20 seconds are yours, Adam.
All right. We'll add that to my 35 minutes that I'm currently allotted, and we should be good.
Oh, I knew I was going to go longer than Brian. I just didn't think it was going to be that kissed up against the time constraints there.
It's not so easy, is it?
No, it's not.
Well.
Well,
a little more than bare minimum effort.
I was going to say we're not all exactly professionals.
No, that's right. Brian is the most professional wrestler in all of wrestling. I'm just a schlub who has a podcast.
Yeah. And I say that was a pretty good wrestling show. It wasn't a great television program, but it was a good wrestling show.
I listen, I appreciate you not chiming in with your usual qualms and remarks and so forth, knowing that it was going to eat into your time. I promise I will sit here and save all of my remarks until the end of whatever swerve-laden disaster you have planned.
Well, we'll see.
There was a lot of extreme Brian dust throughout that episode.
Well, I can say it now. Obviously, I've joked for many years that if I ever ran a promotion, I would have Raven come in and beat everyone and win all the titles. And this was as close to that happening as I could possibly get. I wanted to do a little bit more heavy on the ECW stuff, of course. You know, that's kind of my wheelhouse from what would be the Attitude Era. And a lot of the only... Brian having Scott Hall win the title kind of threw off a little bit of my plans. Because I wanted to start, I assumed Brett was going to win, right? I assumed Brett was going to win the title. And my initial show was started off with Brett coming out, cutting a promo, saying that he was going to be a fighting champion, that he was going to defend the title every week on TV against worthy contenders. And that's where all this other stuff came up. And I wanted to do the part where he talks about his brothers. He says, "My brother Owen," and he calls someone a jam-up guy. I wanted those things to happen on my show, so I had to move them to a later segment. And then the Scott Hall promo didn't take shape until dinner today. about getting the phone calls from Scott and Kev at that promotion, that other promotion, you know, the one down where, and the crowd yells down there, you know, and he does like the suck it thing for it, right?
Yeah.
Like while I was eating dinner, that all came to me, so...
I guess this is going to be my time to shine, because this is me writing Stomp. I've actually loved listening to Stomp. I kept wanting to write a review so I could be in Stomp. And if I had that, my name would have been something that I've used is Summers of Stomp. Because I've kind of owned that because of, you know, Summer Stomp thing. I think that's hilarious to me. And I love the Stomp brand and in general, like literally because of the Major Wrestling Figure podcast and just talking about Stomp, creating Stomp in Paradise, I went out and bought all of Series 1 of Stomp.
That's awesome.
And almost all of them except one, I'm trying to remember which one it was. I want to say it might have been Ahmed Johnson. I bought it at Toy Stores.
And really?
Yeah, and then when I went to the AIW show in Indy, the first one, I assure you were open. What's his name? Kayfabe Collectibles was there.
Oh, yeah, my buddy Joey, sure.
He had a bunch of Stomp figures. The only problem was he could only take cash, and I only had card. And I had credit card on top of that, not just regular debit card. I had credit card, and so I wasn't going to take money out of it because I was going through them like, oh, my God. I was like, he had others, because I have all of Series 1, so it was like Series 2 a lot, and there might have been some Series 3, and I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then I'm like, do you take card? He's like, no, only cash. I'm like, fuck, I want these so bad. So if you're listening to this and you still have those, please hit me up because I still want them.
Oh, listen, man, Joey's a good buddy of mine. I'll just tell him to, if he's still got them, to, you know, give you the good brother discount, you know?
Wow, that'd be very much appreciated.
Yeah, absolutely. Joey's the man. So he, you know, as I'm sure you know, we've actually mentioned on the main show before that he, at the beginning, like before the pandemic started, he had this idea that he was going to just travel to indie shows in an RV with like this collection and like set up tents. And he had like stuff set up for like all the collective shows down in Florida. Yeah. And then when the pandemic happened, it was just like, shit, I got to figure out how to turn like this roving, you know, RV of wrestling collectibles into like an online business. So he set up a website and he set up the eBay store and all this other stuff. And while he was doing this, he was like traveling around the country, like looking at like Craigslist sales for estate sales and stuff. And like just buying people's collection of like a person. And again, it's sad to say, you know, a person who was an inbox collector and passed away. And their family's like, I have no idea what the hell to do with all this shit. So that's where he ended up getting a lot of his stuff from, was just like traveling the country, hitting up like estate sales and flea markets while that stuff was going on at like the height of the pandemic, and just building this collection of stuff to sell, you know?
It's like a traveling Biggins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This was like whatever Biggins was doing, like times a million, because like he sold his house and like him and his wife just like live in an RV. I think they're like currently like stationed in Texas, you know, like as the weather is cold the rest of the world, he's like, yeah, I'm just like at a campgrounds in Texas, you know, leeching off their Wi-Fi, mailing out stuff. Like that's where I sent him his Christmas card this year, you know.
Yeah,
Joey's awesome. A good dude. I'll message him.
Awesome So let's get into Stomp in Paradise. Last week we seen Matt and Brian along with all their friends The Undertaker and Stone Cold Steve Austin finally even the odds against Swoggle, Rory Fox, Sunil, Robot, Sam Roberts, and hundreds of BK henchmen when hundreds of Major Marks showed up. The entire team lays waste to the villains and claims a victory for the good guys. As they are leaving, Dynamite explodes. This week, just minutes after the explosion, we see a small VW microbus roll up and out steps Joe Sposto and Adam Van. Sorry, we're late. Joe yells to the battlefield. Adam had to stop at Wawa. Adam pulls out a fresh pack of cigs, puts one in his mouth, lights it. I'm ready to rip heaters and kick some ass now. They look around and notice the mass destruction that had taken place. Joe says, oh my God, who won here? Everyone is just laid to waste. I smell collusion, Joe, says Adam, and I smell it really bad. Joe replies, yeah. But did the sun go out, come back on, go out again before going out again? That's the real question. In the distance, Joe sees future Mrs. Cardona helping others out from under debris, and he says to himself, poor Chelsea. Just then, they see Matt and Brian laying on the ground. Brian looks puzzled and says, Joe Sposto? Is that you? Yes, it's me, Brian, Joe responds. Matt slowly gets to his feet and helps Brian up. Both of them look badly beaten and can barely walk. Matt says, I don't know what took you guys so long, but luckily we had things covered. And also luckily you two are still available because we need your help. Adam looks super excited and says, what do you need? Do you need me to walk your dog? Change the cat's litter? Clean your garage? Whatever it is, we can do it, broski. It isn't that easy, Brian explains. It looks like we're going to be out of action for a while. The war has taken a number on us, and we're going to need to take some time off and recuperate. We need you guys to step up for the Stomp team. Joe says, I think we can handle this. We're from Eastern Pennsylvania. Adam adds to it, yeah, how bad could it be? What's the next mission? Matt says, we've gotten reports that someone by the name of Ed Cody is out there trying to turn the world into a cult by worshiping Poppy. He's not alone. He also has a evil pet boar with him. Oh. They go by the code name, The Hitmen. They are in a meeting in Orlando right now to meet with someone about joining the evil corporation. You need to find them and stop the cult from spreading. Adam smiles and says, oh, this one is going to be easy. Joe, call the bone collector. Mm-hmm. Who are the hitmen meeting in Orlando? Will the bone collector pick up? Find out this week and more on Stomp in Paradise.
Now, unfortunately, I don't have the Stomp music to put in here. We were looking for that, but that was a little bit more difficult to track down than the main theme.
Mm. Nice. I like it. I don't like how I was painted as a broski sycophant, but,
you know. Hey, listen, a lot of times people will say, don't paint me with that brush, but if you're already wearing a coat that says it, what can they do?
But, you get revenge on, Ed.
Yeah, no, that's true. I'll take it. All right.
This will also be a real test if the board listens to this.
Oh, he will. He told me he was excited for it.
Oh, God. I await the tweet.
I'm sure he's not going to appreciate being paired up with someone the likes of Ed Cody. But again, sometimes you got to make strange bedfellows, you know?
All right. You guys ready for the A show?
Oh, boy. Why? You want me to do mine again? I will.
Once was too much.
All right. I bumped you up to 37 minutes and 30 seconds just to give it kind of even. All right. So it gives you a couple more seconds cushion, but here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
At Odds with Wrestling Podcast. In the week since Broski and Meyer stopped doing this, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment figures. It's that back alley. All your favorite superstars walking down the back alley, intertwined with footage of them doing all their signature moves. It's time. It's time. It's time for Turmoil. Welcome, everyone. I am the president of Turmoil, Adam Van. We are in the aftermath of Major Fest, and tonight's Turmoil will be can't miss. This is in the NyQuil zone, and we won't be phoning it in this week like bare minimum supposed to. Let's send it down to the ring to the commissioner of Turmoil, Shane McMahon. Ah, I accidentally canceled it.
Ah!
I did it again. Goddamn technical difficulties are contagious.
Collusion.
Welcome to Turmoil. After last night's Major Fest, it's important that I remind people that I still run this show. And even though Major Fest is in our rearview mirror, we are already on the road to our next pay-per-view, Nightfall. We have a huge show booked for tonight. The new FWF Tag Team Champions, The Brood, will defend their titles versus the Tag Team of the Year, Mark Henry and D'Lo Brown. Rob Van Dam will be facing a mystery opponent of my choosing. The new FWF World Heavyweight Champion Stone Cold Steve Austin will face all four members of the BSK. And finally, I want to do something a little different. Over the past few weeks and months, Masked Wrestler has gotten a raw deal. He's been impersonated by myself, RVD, and many others. But Masked Wrestler comes from a long line of proud luchadors, and it's time to give him the opportunity to shine with no BS. he'll get a chance of a lifetime as he faces the new FWF and FTW hardcore champion Taz later tonight. Wait a minute. Look who's on the Titantron. We camera pulls back. It's American-made Hulk Hogan. Let me tell you something, brother. I'm not at the arena right now, as I'm on the set of the huge Suburban Commando Thunder in Paradise crossover movie that we're filming on location on the International Space Station. The camera pulls back to reveal that Hulk Hogan is literally floating in zero gravity. Last night, I got beat for the title, dude. But there's a long list of people that have a hand in that loss, dude. I haven't forgotten about the failures of Goldberg and DDP or the interference of Vince McMahon. But I want to start with you, dude. You were supposed to join the NWO and make sure I left with the strap, but you failed. Now, if you had any guts, you jump on that spaceship I left behind the arena and meet me up here one-on-one. The camera then shows the back of the arena, where next to the production trucks are two different spaceships. One large red and yellow one, and another smaller ship. Shane asks, so you really expect me to jump on a spaceship and fly out and meet you? So what, I just pick one of those ships? Hulk responds, if you had any balls, you'd come out here and fight me. But you need to use a smaller ship, because nobody could have a bigger spaceship than me, dude. Shane doesn't seem to have an answer as we cut to commercial break.
33 minutes and 40 seconds left.
Seg 2, we're back from commercial, and the camera shows a woman at ringside sitting in the front row. She's wearing the same mask as Masked Wrestler and has a Masked Wrestler t-shirt on, available at ProWrestlingTees/MajorWFPod. We see our first Masked Wrestler superfan. Now, on to the opening contest. Oh yeah, the tag team of the year are out first, and if you called 1-900-TURMOIL today, you'll know that Mark Henry has said that it's time for him to focus on what matters most in life. We'll have to see what he means by that. And their opponents... Rey Mysterio and Billy Kidman, along with Gangrel, rise up from the stage in a ring of fire. As they walk down to the ring, D'Lo is completely focused on his opponents. Mark Henry, however, can't seem to keep his eyes off of the Masked Wrestler superfan. The match starts off hot and heavy, with D'Lo working well off the high-flying Kidman and Mysterio. This is what we call a work rate match. D'Lo is looking worse for wear as he goes for the make the hot tag to Mark Henry, but Henry isn't there. He's down on the floor flirting with Masked Wrestler superfan. D'Lo is draped over the middle rope asking what Henry is doing, and he's hit with the 619. Mysterio tags out and Kidman hits the shooting star press, goes for the pin. 1, 2, 3. Here are your winners and still tag team champions, The Brood. Gangrel steps up on the ring apron and the lights go out. The lights go out. The lights come back on. Bloodbath on D'Lo Brown. Mark Henry avoided the bloodbath because he was still flirting at ringside. What an impressive first win for the New Brood. We cut to backstage where a promo between Paul Bearer, The Undertaker, and The Ultimate Warrior. I have been rejuvenated by the power of The Undertaker and his spooky urn. I have one reason to exist in the FWF. And that is to ensure the total domination of my Undertaker and the Ultimate Warrior. The Ultimate Warrior grabs the microphone.
Oh, no.
Steve Borden, I have a question. Has you, Steve Borden, traveled to Turmoil by conventional means? Do you, Steve Borden, show self-pity? Do you, Steve Borden, try to comfort the mortals that even fear more than you? Or do you kick out the doors, kick down the cockpit doors, take the two pilots that have already made the sacrifice as you realize you're already close to parts unknown? And then The Undertaker grabs the microphone. Sting, when we first traveled up and down the locker room was a lot different than it is today. Men were men, and you needed to be willing to die just to make it to the ring.
but you've lost your way. You've gone soft. And because of that, you're going to rest in peace. The lights go out. Undertaker is glowing in the dark, and so is the Ultimate Warrior. It's the power of the urn as we cut to commercial break. Seg 3.
I'm going to die.
We come back from commercial, and all four members of the BSK are already in the ring. They don't even get a televised entrance. It's almost like the new creative team of Turmoil doesn't see much in this foursome. But because Turmoil uses everybody, here we are. And their opponent... Introducing their opponent for this non-title 4-on-1 handicap match, the new FWF Heavyweight Champion of the World, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Ding, ding, ding. As soon as the bell rings, Austin charges at Henry Godwin, hits him with the Luthez press. He's raining down punches when Savio Vega runs in, tries to pull Austin off. Kick in the gut, Savio takes a stunner. The Godfather runs in and he takes a stunner. Godwin sets up, gets shit-canned over the top rope. All of a sudden, all we are left with is the Sultan. And Austin, the Sultan, the guy who's been running roughshod over Turmoil the last few months, Austin gives him the middle finger, kicks him in the dick. Low blow, low blow. But the ref didn't see it. The ref was distracted by the voluptuous masked wrestler superfan at ringside, who's now standing on her chair holding up a sign that says, "We love masked wrestler." Austin goes for the pin. 1, 2, 3. Here is your winner, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Steve Austin is celebrating in the ring, cracking open some Steve Weisers, when all of a sudden... It's Bill Goldberg and DDT. DDP. They have unfinished...
Take a shot.
Take a shot. They have unfinished business from last night's Major Fest. Bill Goldberg grabs the mic. Austin, you're next. Is Goldberg declaring his intentions for the World Heavyweight title? Now, what is Triple H doing out here? He's accompanied, as always, by the Nature Boy Ric Flair. Triple H grabs the mic. Whoa, 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 Goldberg, not so fast. For a long time, I've been calling myself the real world's champion. See, we're doing a callback to that. And it's long past due that I get my chance at the world title. I am the number one contender. What is going on? Now Edge is coming down. He grabs the mic. Austin, I know that I haven't had a chance to shine as a singles performer, but as you can see, Christian isn't at my side. If you give me a shot at the title, that would totally reek of awesomeness. Three challengers for Austin's title. How are we going to straighten this out? It's Big Daddy Cool Diesel. Diesel grabs the mic. Austin, you're one tough son of a bitch. But as everyone knows, I'm one bad mother trucker. That strap would look too sweet around my waist, but I'm willing to fight these other guys to earn my spot. Let's do it tonight. Austin looks at Big Kev, gives him a nod of approval, hands him a Steve Weiser, and takes off. It looks like we will have our main event of this evening, a four-way match to determine the number one contender to the heavyweight championship. This is storytelling as we cut to commercial break. All right, Seg 4. We're
you don't
back.
Know what time?
What's that?
You haven't won one in your time. 26.
Well, you haven't been giving it to me.
Gotta give me time. 26 minutes and 5 seconds.
All right. This is a packed show. It's
he,
not
he
like
gave you time after Seg 1, but you just barreled through on Seg 2.
All right. So, Seg 4, we are back from commercial and ready for our next match. Coming down to the ring first, looking to right the ship after his loss last night to Scott Steiner, the chosen one, Jeff Jarrett. He's got his guitar in hand, but Deborah is nowhere to be found. She left him last night for Scott Steiner, and we'll see if it affects Jarrett going forward. And his opponent... Christian! That's right. Christian is striking off on his own. We already saw earlier in the show that Edge is going after the world title, so it's up to Christian to sink or swim in front of the Turmoil Terminators. We've got a really good back-and-forth match as Christian is holding his own against Jeff Jarrett. After targeting Christian's knee all match, Jarrett locks in the figure four. Is Christian going to submit? The ref gets in real close to Christian, asking him if he quits. Jarrett reaches back to the ropes, gives him a pull for some extra torque on the figure four, and Christian taps out. Christian tries to explain to the ref that Jarrett had the ropes, but the referee is pointing to his eyes, implying that he didn't see it and therefore cannot overturn the decision. All of a sudden, Christian starts throwing a tantrum in the middle of the ring, kicking and flailing around like a toddler. And we go backstage, where we see the new Interstate Champion, Big Papa Pump, Scott Steiner, getting ready for his match. He's getting his pump on with some resistance bands as Deborah comes into frame and gives him a kiss for good luck. We have Steiner versus Ken Shamrock coming up after the commercial break.
24 minutes, 5 seconds.
Oh, see, plenty of time. All right, Seg 5. We have Ken Shamrock, the former hardcore champion. He's out first. He'll look to move up the ranks as he faces the new Interstate Champion. Scott Steiner comes out from behind the curtain, but he's not alone. He's got Deborah with him, and Big Papa Pump has two tigers. Big Papa Pump has two tigers. Big Papa Pump and Deborah have brought two tigers to the ring. This is unbelievable, only on Turmoil. Before the match can even get started, one of the tigers attacks Ken Shamrock and bites Shamrock's hand. Oh my God, a tiger just mauled Ken Shamrock. A tiger just mauled Ken Shamrock. This match is a no contest. And obviously, Shamrock is going to have to be taken to a local medical facility. Scott Steiner takes the mic. When you get in the ring with any other wrestler, you've got a 50-50 chance of winning. But when you're in the ring with Big Papa Pump, you've got less than a 5% chance of winning. But if my main freak Deborah's in my corner and my tigers named Alexa and Conti, you've got a 0.001% chance. And that's a fact. Suddenly, the lights go out. The lights go out. I become, Judas in my mind. I become. Oh, listen to that crowd singing along. If you thought the NyQuil Zone had the best fan sing-alongs, you're now in for a rude awakening. Chris Jericho grabs the mic. Welcome to Turmoil is Jericho! Scott Steiner, I don't know if you saw or not. Last night, the Ayatollah of Rock and Rolla made his Turmoil debut. Since Turmoil is the land of opportunity, I'm telling you that Interstate title is coming to me. And I promise you, Turmoil will never, ever be the same again. Scott Steiner looks pissed as we cut to commercial break.
21 minutes and 6 seconds left, and hopefully Chris Jericho will unblock you now.
Seg 6. All right. As revealed on 1-900 Turmoil, because of their fallout at Major Fest last night, Commissioner McMahon has ordered Booker T and Stevie Ray to team up one last time. They don't seem to be getting along as they walk to the ring separately. Booker T won't even take his eyes off of his brother. And their opponents.
Nice.
Here come the New Age Outlaws, accompanied by China. And a special thanks to Run DMC for the new Outlaws theme music, available wherever cassettes and CDs are sold. Stevie Ray starts off the match with for Harlem Heat, and it's quickly apparent that he's no match for the cohesive tag team wrestling of the Outlaws. China looks on with joy every time Billy Gunn tags in. Let's go, Billy. Let's go, Billy. Hold on, I forgot to clap. Booker T keeps reaching out for a tag, but Stevie Ray is refusing to tag in his partner. He seems to be willing to lose this match out of spite for Booker T. Out of nowhere, Stevie Ray hits the slapjack on Road Dogg, the move, not the weapon. Both men are down, and Booker T is begging Stevie Ray to tag him in. Still no tag for Harlem Heat. Booker T is visibly frustrated as the Road Dogg makes a hot tag to Billy Gunn. Famaster from Gunn. 1, 2, 3. Booker T never saw a moment of action. Here are your winners, the New Age Outlaws. After the match, the Outlaws and China are celebrating in the ring when China grabs the mic.
Oh, Billy, after last night, I realized that we need to make the most of the time we have. Billy, will you marry me?
China gets down on one knee and pulls out a ring. What is Billy going to say? The Road Dogg looks on with an excited grin. Billy Gunn takes the mic and says, oh, yeah. Billy Gunn and China are getting married. Billy Gunn and China are getting married as we cut to commercial break.
Wow.
And now for work.
We got 18 minutes and 28 seconds left. But before we continue, let's hear word from our sponsors.
Do you love podcasts but hate podcatchers? I know I do. That's where soontobenamednetwork.com comes in, or soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com comes in. All of the shows in the soon-to-be-named network, whether it be Longbox Heroes, Longbox Heroes After Dark, Puzzle Warriors 3, Profane Arguments, Wednesday Night War, Final Wrestling Place, or At Odds with Wrestling. Anytime those shows go live, you can find them there. Anytime the hosts of those shows appear on other shows, you can find it there at soontobenamednetwork.com or soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com. Don't be fooling around with podcatchers that constantly need to be updated, constantly are just in states of disarray, or a text file of RSS feeds. Be smart. Go to soontobenamednetwork.com, soontobenamednetwork.tumblr.com.
Everybody!
All right, Seg 7. We see a graphic on the screen, and just announced for next week's episode of Turmoil will be the wedding of Billy Gunn and China. It's going to be the social event of the season. Be sure to tune in. Rob Van Dam is coming out to the ring, waiting to see who Shane McMahon has picked for his mystery opponent. Knowing Shane O'Mac, it's bound to be an uphill battle. And his opponent, it's Sting! Sting propels down from the rafters with his trademark baseball bat. Rob Van Dam is stunned. He knew Shane was going to try something, but he didn't imagine it was going to be this. This is a dream match. Call your friends. Tell them to turn on Turmoil. RVD versus the Icon Sting, but all of a sudden the lights go out, the lights come back on, RVD is gone, and Sting is surrounded by the Undertaker and Ultimate Warrior. Literally, there are Undertakers and Warriors everywhere, at the timekeeper's table, at the commentation station. Even the entire crowd has been transformed into glow-in-the-dark Undertakers and Ultimate Warriors. I cannot believe my eyes, but then the lights go out again, and when they come back, everyone is back to normal. Taker and Warrior are gone. What kind of mind games are going on? Sting looks around. He's pissed off. He's sick of this. He tells one of the FWF officials, tell him I'm done with this bullshit. Oh, sorry, folks. This is live TV. We apologize for that. As we cut back to the backstage area, where Shane McMahon is on a telephone call, when in walks Vince McMahon. Shane, I know we've had our differences, but I need to talk to you about this challenge from Hulk Hogan. Shane replies, I know, it's ridiculous. Only a demented man-child would think up a match set in space. I'm not doing it. Vince says, no! You're a McMahon! You've inherited balls the size of grapefruits! You get on that ship, and you go kick Terry's ass. Shane seems to take that to heart, and he makes his way through the backstage arena and boards the ship that Hulk Hogan left for him. When we come back from commercial, we are getting Hulk Hogan one-on-one versus Shane McMahon in space as we cut to commercial break. All right.
Hold on. I'm cutting you a break because I forgot to hit resume.
All right. Fair enough.
You get a free segment.
Segi, when we come back from commercial, just in time to see Shane McMahon's ship dock with the International Space Station because all accessories are legal. He enters the airlock and we see that he's wearing his Stompin' Paradise Series 11 Space Battles attire, complete with astronaut helmet because all customs are legal. Shane looks around for Hulk, but Hogan is nowhere to be found. It's American-made Hulk Hogan. Vroom, 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 vroom. He's riding a space hog. And he's coming out to his old NWO theme because it's much cooler than the American-made theme. Hogan enters the space station, and we're getting ready for all-out war. Ding, ding, ding. Shane and Hogan go right at it in the type of quality match you would expect to get out of these two ring generals. Remember, they are fighting in zero gravity. This is the type of spectacle you can only get on Turmoil. We flash forward to the end of the match as Hogan is dragging Shane O'Mac from room to room in the space station, hitting Shane over the head with nearby objects that break apart and just float away. Shane, desperate to turn the tides of the match, leads the Hulkster back through the airlock, presses the button, and now they're literally duking it out while floating in space. The light from the stars reflect off of each of their visors, and Hogan's superior technical wrestling ability is allowing him to outmatch Shane McMahon. Out of nowhere, that dastardly heel, Shane O'Mac, pulls out a hammer, and he cracks the visor on Hulk's helmet. Hulk doesn't have much time. He's losing air when suddenly the stars go out. The stars go out.
Oh,
the stars go out. It's complete darkness. The stars have come back on. Hogan used this distraction to get behind Shane. And low blow. Low blow. Hulk hits Shane so hard between the legs that he's now floating out of control into space. Spinning and spinning into the distance until he can no longer be seen. Who is the official winner of this match? Has Shane been lost in space forever? As we cut to commercial break.
Oh my God.
15 minutes, 50 seconds left.
All right. Next up, Seg 9. All right, here he is. The newly crowned hardcore champion. Last night at Major Fest, Taz went to war with Ken Shamrock and left not only with the hardcore title, but also his FTW championship. Both of those titles are on the line tonight. It is finally time to see what Masked Wrestler is capable of. And his opponent, Masked Wrestler! I don't know what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. Masked Wrestler hasn't appeared yet. Let's give this another shot. And his opponent, Masked Wrestler. Still no sign of Masked Wrestler as the camera cuts to the backstage area. Trainers and FWF officials are checking on a person that appears to be laid out on the ground. We can't exactly tell who it is, but based on his gear, it looks like it might be Masked Wrestler. But his mask is gone. His mask is gone. They've got a towel over his head to hide his identity. And it definitely doesn't look like Masked Wrestler is going to be able to compete tonight. The referee has no choice, though. He has to give the Masked Wrestler one more chance to answer the challenge. And his opponent, Masked Wrestler! Wait a second! That's... No, that's... Well, folks, I'm not quite sure what's going on here. But, I mean, it's not... It can't be, right? It can't be. He's on that other show. This man that's answering Taz's challenge isn't the same luchador that the Turmoil Terminators have grown to love over the last couple months. He's got masked wrestler's mask on, but he's clearly bigger and is wearing yellow trunks because all customs are illegal, Joe. The masked wrestler superfan that's been sitting in the front row all night is going crazy. Taz knows. What's that?
You son of a bitch. Go ahead.
Taz knows that he's been swerved, but he's not one to back down from a fight. Ding, ding, ding. This is what Brian Myers refers to as an Attitude Era hardcore match. Both men are throwing heavy shots back and forth. Taz ducks a wild right from Mass Wrestler. He counters with a German Tazplex. Mass Wrestler gets up, not sure what hit him. Immediately, he's hit with the belly-to-belly Tazplex. Mass Wrestler rolls outside the ring, staggers over to the guardrail near the fans. Taz pursues Mass Wrestler to the outside when Mass Wrestler hits Taz over the head with a Singapore cane. Did the Mass Wrestler superfan give the Mass Wrestler a Singapore cane? It definitely looks like it. Mass Wrestler continues to repeatedly cane Taz over the head until the cane breaks. Taz is busted open hard way. Mass Wrestler throws Taz back into the ring to finish him off when Taz hits a Northern Lights Tazplex. Against all odds, is Taz going to pull this off? Mass Wrestler begs off Taz when all of a sudden, low blow, low blow. Mass Wrestler hit Taz with a low blow. He then hits him with the Pittsburgh Plunge. 1, 2, 3. Here is your winner and new FTW, FWF Hardcore Champion, Mass Wrestler. Mass Wrestler has done it. He has defeated Taz for both hardcore titles. He then grabs the microphone. I stand here before God and my Father in heaven tonight. I said I would be the FWF Hardcore Champion in the tradition of Ken Shamrock and Randy Savage, in the tradition of British Bulldog and Terry Funk, the man who will not die, from the Sandmans to the Ravens. And they can all kiss my ass. Oh, Mass Wrestler throws down the belt because I am not a man who accepts a torch to be handed down to me from an organization that died RIP 1 week ago. The Mass Wrestler is the man who ignites the flame of the sport of figure wrestling. He reaches over and he grabs the FTW belt. Tonight, before God and my Father as witness, I declare myself the Mass Wrestler as the new FTW heavyweight champion of the world. And we cut to commercial break.
Son of a bitch. Go ahead.
10 minutes, 50 seconds.
Oh, all right. Didn't think I had time to take a drink of water. I'm doing it now. All right. We come back. Seg Tevin. We're back from commercial. We have just been informed that our main event number one contenders match is an elimination style match. We have received permission from the network to stay with this match until the very end. Let's find out who will have the right to face Steve Austin at the Nightfall pay-per-view. Introducing first. Goldberg makes his way down to the ring by himself. We're told the DDP has joined the search for Shane McMahon. And his opponents. You think you know me? Edge is coming down, looking to make his name as a solo star. And this is his chance to prove it. And their opponents. Triple H along with Ric Flair are out next. Ric Flair looks like $1 million in this custom three-piece suit. The Real World's champion is the odds-on favorite to win this match. And their final opponents. Big Daddy Cool making his way down the entranceway. Accompanied by the 1-2-3 Kid. They too sweet each other, and the kid returns to the back. Ding, ding, ding. Right off the bat, the action is impossible to call. Triple H is tying up with Edge, kicking the gut. He goes for the pedigree when H gets a big boot from Diesel, breaking up the move. Diesel turns around and spear from Goldberg. Goldberg stands up and signals for the jackhammer when he's speared by Edge. Triple H still selling from the boot. Low blows Edge before collapsing again. All four men are down in the ring, and we see Booker T come down to ringside as we cut to commercial break.
8 minutes, 20 seconds.
Oh, plenty of time. All right, Seg 11. We're back from commercial. Before the break, Booker T came down to ringside. He has not interfered, but he seems to be scouting the match intently. Back in the ring, Goldberg appears to be gassed as usual. He's got Edge ready to go up in the jackhammer when Edge reverses it into a DDT. He goes for the pin. One, two, three. Edge upsets Goldberg. In his first high-profile singles match, Goldberg is defeated by Edge. Oh, Goldberg is making his way up the entrance ramp defeated when he sees Scott Steiner coming out. Scott Steiner's come out to watch the match. Everyone in that locker room has a vested interest in the result of this match. The crowd is evenly split between backing Diesel and the young upstart Edge. Triple H shit-cans Diesel over the top rope and then takes another spear from Edge. Edge goes for the pin. One, two. Oh, Ric Flair put Triple H's foot on the rope, the dirtiest player in the game. Triple H rolls out of the ring, and Diesel gives Edge a big boot. Big Kev sets up Edge and delivers a jackknife powerbomb. Is this it? One, two, three. Oh, Edge had a long run, but he could not stand to take the power of a jackknife powerbomb. Edge has been eliminated. All right, we are down to just Triple H and Diesel. Diesel has the power advantage. He lands a snake eyes in the corner on Triple H. Triple H, like the cowardly heel he is begging off Diesel. He pulls the ref in between them. The ref takes a bump. The ref is down. Scott Steiner gets up on the apron and starts yelling at Diesel. You're not that sexy. Big bump, bump is sexy. Big bump, bump is sexy. Both Diesel and Triple H are distracted by Steiner when Ric Flair comes in from behind. And low blow. Low blow. Low blow on Triple H. Ric Flair is just low blow Triple H. He slides out of the ring. Booker T is yelling at Steiner, getting in his face. Why'd you do this? Why'd you get involved in the match? Ric Flair strutting at ringside. Another ref comes down as Diesel picks up a vulnerable Triple H for a jackknife powerbomb. One, two, three. Here is your winner and the number one contender to the FWF heavyweight title, Big Daddy Cool Diesel. Diesel stands in the ring to celebrate, and Ric Flair joins him and gives him a big hug. Oh, it was collusion from the start. Diesel and Flair had this plan. Scott Steiner and Booker T still shouting at each other, get in the ring to confront the number one contender. Definitely they're going to declare their intentions to go for that belt as well. All four men are standing, locked up, getting ready to throw blows, when all of a sudden, from the rafters, it's Sting! Sting stands between all four of the men with his trademark trench coat. Who is Sting here for? Wait a minute. Sting's wearing a mask. He takes the mask off to reveal he isn't wearing any face paint. Underneath his coat, he's got a suit on. Sting embraces Diesel, Ric Flair, Scott Steiner, Booker T. They all celebrate. We've just seen the formation of the main event mafia. What do they have in store for the Turmoil brand? Good night, everybody, from Turmoil, the A Show.
You right. Ended with about 4 minutes and 24 seconds, but there was that one segment that I forgot to unpause from, but still pretty good.
Pretty good. Oh, that shit. The internet's going to be talking about that for weeks.
I meant time-wise.
I know. I'm just saying. Oh, I have no voice. I'm sorry.
Right, are you ready to advance record this week's episode of At Odds, just in case?
Oh, well.
My dislike this week was Joey Janela not winning the TNT championship. You know, I thought that was a great match, and they really should get. Oh, my bad.
No. So, Adam.
Yes.
Masked wrestler, huh?
All customs are legal. I just want to say, before you say anything, that I'm pretty sure you had a wrestler on Thrill Zone that was coming out to the Undertaker's music for quite some time. And then when Kane was suspended, somebody else was coming out dressed as Kane with Kane's theme music. So I have a wrestler on my roster who is wearing the masked wrestler mask, who won the FWF-FTW title and declared himself the FTW champion.
What would you have done if I had Shane Douglas on my show? Would this still have happened the way that it did?
It was going to happen anyways, but because Thrill Zone doesn't use, like, one of their... Like, how do you not use Shane Douglas? That was just a layup for me.
Again, you know, like Brian, I don't use everybody every week, you know? How could I miss you if you're on TV every goddamn week in 7 segments, except for Raven? Everybody wants more Raven.
All right, let's not gloss over the fact that I had a space battle, guys.
Oh, my God. I'm thinking to myself, like, you came into this with the intent to out Broski, and I have to say, bravo, sir, you did.
You did.
Oh, that means the world to me. I got to ask you guys, though, did you see the main event Mafia forming?
No.
Was that telegraphed?
No. Okay. So when Flair, so Booker T comes out, Steiner comes out. I'm like, okay, they're going to join up with whoever wins. Okay. That part was clear.
Yeah.
I didn't see Flair turning coming. And then once, they're all in the ring and I'm like, okay, that's your group. And then throwing Sting in there. And I'm like, where the fuck does Sting fit into all of this? Like, Main Event Mafia is so, like, not in my mind frame of things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was watching Impact Wrestling, and you know how they
sorry.
Have... I know. Well, I wanted to see the most professional wrestler in the undefeated
match. Oh, new episodes. I thought you were talking about old episodes.
Well, no, I was watching the new one, and afterwards they have Impact in 60, and it was a Main Event Mafia thing. And I had already written 99% of Turmoil this week. And they had a segment, and I'm like, holy shit, I have all of these guys except for Kurt Angle. And I'm like, I have to rebook the whole show. So things got mixed around. I had, like, things that didn't make sense, but I was very happy to have the Main Event Mafia. Very underrated stable.
You want me to play the theme for what I would figure would be Adam's pay-per-view theme?
Go for it.
Brian did draft Nova, but I didn't use him.
Oh, so you could have had a big surprise there.
So, right. Well, that we talked about that. Like, if they had revealed on the special guys that they had drafted and didn't use, like, we could have used them. And I don't think they really got into anyone, but I know in the comments section, Brian mentioned that he had drafted Nova and a couple other people. And he's just like, oh, yeah, I forgot to use them.
Bare minimum Brian.
I did have plans, like I did have a penciled in plan that if they did reveal somewhere, because Farouk never showed up anywhere, right? And if Brian had revealed that he had drafted Farouk and just forgot to use him, that Dudley Boys segment was gonna be Bradshaw and Farouk coming out to kill them.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was penciled in, but once it wasn't revealed, I'm like, well, I can't just pull a guy out of my ass that I don't have on my roster and have him on the show.
Yeah, who would do that?
Right.
What were your plans with Kevin Nash if I had traded him to you?
So Scott Hall was going to cut the promo that he was the lone wolf. Shawn Michaels was still going to come out and say whatever it was. It was still going to be the main event match with Rock and Scott Hall. Owen was still going to come out and interfere. And then you have everyone paired off, right? You'd have like Rock and Macho Man, or Rock and Macho Man mixing it up. Owen and Yoko mixing it up, Brett and HBK mixing it up, and then Scott Hall would kind of like be by himself, and then out of nowhere, Nash would come out and lay out Scott Hall, and then he was going to be the one that was going to be holding the belt up, and then like you have like these eight guys as like your main event picture, but like having it be seven is okay, because like we can now move somebody up into the whatevers, but that was my only, like Nash is just going to be like the last minute surprise like beatdown of Scott Hall.
Gotcha. Well, we both would have ended. I ended my show with Nash as the number one contender to Steve Austin's title, you know?
Right.
Gotta get Hogan out of that title picture since he did a murder.
Oh, my goodness.
I enjoyed the show, gentlemen.
All right. So we're going to put a poll up. So this episode's going to go up, you know, very quickly. It's like live to tape, as it were. Very going to be a little editing just to put some music and stuff in there at the beginning and ends and stuff. But within like 24 hours of this going live, we're going to put a poll up on the At Odds Twitter. It's going to be pinned or whatever. And you, the fans, are going to be the ones that vote. On who had the better show, Brian or Adam with Turmoil or me with Thrill Zone. And then obviously we'll reveal the results this Thursday on At Odds. And I said on At Odds this week, and I will reiterate here, I'm a man of integrity, intensity, and intelligence. And while I will not use any of my Socko accounts to vote in the poll, I would have voted for your show. I thought your show was really good, man.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed yours as well. I was very nervous. Like, I literally, my hand was shaking at the beginning, but I'm glad it worked out for both of us.
Shaking with anger?
Shaking with anger. Oh. Major pod network confirmed.
Well, anyway. We are an established show with lots of episodes.
Built-in fan base.
I don't know. We'll see. Anyway. So, Justin, thank you very much for helping us out and kind of, you know, doing this loving tribute to the Figure Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, this was a blast to do. And one thing that I used to love doing even high school was doing the creative writing part. And I hadn't really got to do that in a while. So I feel like I was a little rusty writing Stomp. But I also kind of like you guys maybe a little bit. I wrote that probably about an hour or so before we started recording. Like, I sat down, like, all right, I gotta type the shit out, figure out what I want to say. So I had a blast. This was great.
And obviously, my hat's off to both Brian and Broski. You know, this is tougher than it looks.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Never again. I can't imagine doing this on a weekly basis. Nope.
I pity anyone who wants to take over for Brian. If you want that albatross around your neck of having to do this every week and keep up this sort of pace on a weekly basis with whatever else you have going on in your life, I don't know how Broski does it, and I know why Brian said, like, enough is enough and it's time for a change, you know?
Yeah.
So, again, thank you, everyone, for kind of indulging us here on this little fun project we did. Again, for Justin joining us, Adam, this is Joe, saying thanks for listening to the At Odds special Figure Wrestling Federation Week 27. Be safe, everyone, and enjoy some figs.
You're listening to the soon-to-be-named network, the Lamborghini of podcast networks.